Good to see you all. Praise the name of the Lord. Peter, I wondered if you can put the NIV up for me. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 27. Could you do that? No, that's okay. I'll read it then from the King James Version. You're going to have that in a minute. When I was sitting down, I really felt God was saying to give this scripture to the people who don't normally come to the church. So I wanted to read it in the NIV, but I have the authorized. So if you don't mind, this is for the people who don't normally come to the... Yeah. Number 6. 24 to 27, this is for people who don't normally come to the church. I really felt God wanted to say this to you. So I have to do what he says. Okay, so this is for you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Can it go a bit? The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bless all of us, but that was particularly for people who don't normally come to the church. So take that to heart. God wants to bless you and he's going to keep you. That's his promise to you. Amen. I just want to start with a testimony. I visited this old man with his daughter. Some of you know him, Bob. And he said that God has kept him alive. He's a 94 years old man. And he said there must be a purpose for him being alive right now. But he didn't know what the purpose was. And as he was speaking to me, and I thought, oh, that's a good testimony. I have to share it with others. And I said to him, I'm going to tell you in a minute. I said to him, well, maybe that's the reason God's kept you alive, to encourage me, that I can encourage others. What he said was, he was on his way to the doctor, and he normally gets the bus. And on the way going, can you hear me all right? Okay. On the way, he got the bus to go to the doctor's. Got there okay, but on the way back, there was a lot of roadworks. So the bus dropped him off quite a distance to where his house was. And he knew he couldn't make that walk. And he's standing there thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He didn't have a phone on him. He didn't have a mobile phone on him. And there was someone that he hadn't seen for years that was there. Started talking, he told the person the situation. She happened to have a mobile phone on her, so he was able to phone his daughter-in-law, and his daughter-in-law picked him up. And he said, that was God. That was God. God is amazing. He looks after us. He blesses us. He protects us. He's the most wonderful person on earth in the universe. So let me start with my message to you. Amen. Father, I just thank you for these amazing people sitting here. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that their names are engraved on the palm of your hands. Thank you that they are blessed. Thank you that they are special. Thank you that they are the apple of your eye. And as I just speak your word to them, Father, what is of you, let them take it to heart. What is not of you, Father, let it fall to the ground. Father, bless them as I minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. You can see I'm going to talk about the Word of God. That's why I've got the Bible in my hand. Now, Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. It would be good to read it together. I'm very much a word person. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in your great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? How can a young man, how can any of us stay on the path of purity? Well, it's in the next line. By living according to your word. In James chapter 1, verses 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. So, what is the word of God? We all know it's the Bible, but what is the word of God? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says in the Amplified, for the word of God is living, is active, and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person and of the joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. The word of God is living. The word of God is living. It's alive. The word of God is active. The word of God is full of power. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I watched the film The Bodyguard. Maybe some of you have heard of the film before, with Whitney Houston in and Kevin Costner. I used to pretend I was Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner was my bodyguard. But then, obviously, I realised I've only got one bodyguard and it's the Lord Jesus. But in the film, she had a double-edged sword. And that was the first time I've actually really took note of what a double-edged sword was. And she had it in her hand. And Kevin was trying to tell her, explain to her how sharp it was. And he got a scarf and he flung it in the air and it came down slowly. And the double-edged sword just amazingly just cut it in two. And I thought, wow, that's what it means in the Bible. A double-edged sword. God's word is sharper than a double-edged sword. God's word is alive. When you read the word of God, it has to do something to you. It's alive. It's all powerful. That's the word of God. When we speak a word, we utter a word. It comes from our vocal cords. When you speak a word to someone, that person is finding out what your heart is saying, what your mind is saying, finding out a bit about you. When you read the Word of God is telling you about God's heart, about God's mind. It's telling you who He is. That's the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, this is in the Message. I love this. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. The Word became flesh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus became flesh and he moved into our neighborhood. How wonderful. Hallelujah. The Word of God, it wants to teach us. It wants to instruct us. It wants to warn us. It wants to inspire us. It wants to encourage us. It wants to deliver us. It wants to free us. It wants to show you God's will for your life. Everything is in the Word of God. His will for you is in the Word of God. Lots of us say, I wish I knew what the will of God was. I wish I knew where God wanted me to be. I wish. It's all in the Word of God. Everything that you ever need for your life is in this book. I know it is because I've been reading it. It's in this book. So, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to God's word. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden. So what does hidden mean? Hidden in the dictionary, I had to look it up. I already know what it means, but let's just see what the dictionary says. Not accessible to few, concealed, difficult to find, secret. When you hide something, you don't want anyone to find it. In a sense, you're protecting it. And that's what God's word wants to do in our hearts. God wants us to hide his word in our heart. God wants us to protect his word in our heart. I remember when I was young, note the young please. Thank you. When I became a Christian, I was a teenager. And I used to think to myself, say if God leaves me. And I literally was kind of like scared. He's going to leave me. He's going to leave me. I don't want him to leave me. And I pictured in my head, my heart, because in those days I used to think he was literally in my heart. You know, the heart itself, the beating heart. I really thought he was in my heart. And I pictured a key. So I locked him in. And I'm holding this key. And I'm thinking, well, if I put the key in a drain, then somebody else could make another key to fit the keyhole in my heart. So I thought, even if I melted the key, it wouldn't make any difference. So I pictured in my head that the keyhole in my heart was sealed, so there was no way God could get out. Because I didn't really know that scripture that says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if I had known that, I wouldn't have been, you know, going crazy, thinking, oh, he's going to leave me. I've got to somehow keep him in. I didn't really know the word, but then I was a young Christian. But when you know the word, when you read the word, when you find out what the word says, then it becomes reality. You and I need to store the word in our heart. Because we don't know when we're going to need it for ourselves or for somebody else. So we need to store it. We need to hide it in our hearts. I remember a friend of mine told me this story that is true about two women. Let's pretend that one of the women was Jane and the other woman was Helen. Praise the name of the Lord. He never forgets our names, does he? And it was wartime. Jane and her friend, Helen, were in this building, and the bombs were going off here, there, and everywhere. Jane was a Christian. Helen wasn't a Christian. Helen just didn't believe that there was a God. Bombs were going off. Jane kept reciting Psalm 91 over and over and over again. Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection. And when the bombing had stopped and it was calm, Jane and Helen walked out of the building, and everywhere around them was just devastation. Everything was crumbled, rumble, all around them, apart from where they stood. The building that they stood in was the only thing that was standing. And Helen gave her life to Jesus because she realized then there had to be a God. The point is, if Jane hadn't have stored the word of God in her heart, maybe she wouldn't have been able to recite Psalm 91, which is a psalm of protection. She had stored it in her heart so it was ready when she needed to access it in her time of need. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to store the word of God in our hearts so that we're ready to use it when we have our time of need. So how do you know if you've stored the word of God in your heart? If you have a need, you're able to access it. That's when you know if you've stored the word of God in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. The most valuable thing you would ever collect in life is the word of God. It's the most precious thing you would ever, ever collect. I remember once, to me, the word is God's treasure chest. And the very first church I went to, my minister's wife had died. And I said to Father God, oh, I'd love to give her scripture. I had stored the word in me, but there was nothing coming. So I had to add more to my storage, my filing cabinet. So I went into my treasure chest and I'm looking, oh, which is the scripture for her? And I'm looking and I'm looking in my treasure chest, looking, looking. And then a scripture just came to me. And you know when you know when you know. Have you ever had that sensation when you know something is right? Your spirit man is just confirming something to you. And I wrote the scripture on a postcard and I sent it to her. About 4 or 6 weeks later, she came up to me in the church. And she said, thank you very much for the scripture that you had given to me. The scripture that you had given to me was the same scripture that was on my mother's tombstone. That is God. That is God. We don't know when we're going to need the word of God. For our lives, we don't know when we're going to need the word of God to help somebody else. We need to store the word of God in our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, the sword again. We need the sword of the Spirit. Just pretend that we're going to war. And in this war, instead of having the weapons that are going to be used in this war is a bow and an arrow. But we don't know when this war is going to happen. We know it's coming towards us, but we don't know when it's going to happen. So we've all got a bow and an arrow. And some of us, instead of taking the wrapping off, we've put our bow and arrow in a cupboard, still in its wrapping, with the instructions. And then all of a sudden, the war is here, it's on your doorstep. But the thing is, you've never taken out that bow and arrow, so you don't know how to use it. You haven't even looked at the instructions. You think it's going to be easy, but it's by the time you take it out, by the time you try to put the, it's too late. It's too late. You and I need to be ready, because we do not know when we are going to have a situation that we need the word of God. We don't know. If you and I were thrown into jail and you didn't have the word of God, would you be able to survive on what you know and what you've stored inside of you? Verse 16 says, I delight, take pleasure in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I delight, I take pleasure in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You and I need to allow the word of God to enter into our lives, that we are so familiar with it that whatever situation comes, whatever temptation comes, we are ready. There's a lot of false teachers around today and a lot of different teachings in books. How do you know? How do you know if you're being deceived? You need to know the word of God for yourself. It's great listening to teachers. It's great listening to me. But how do you know? I'm telling you the truth. How do you know? When you read the word of God for yourself, it's so important to read the word of God for yourself. Because Andy could be standing up here. Thank you that you're a man of grace. And he could be saying something to you. But how do you know it's true? You need to read the word of God for yourself. And then God will show you. It's good to listen to people, but it's good to know for yourself what's in this book. Because if you don't know, if somebody comes and deceives you, you would just follow them because you don't know. But if you know the word of God, then there's something that's going to go off in you. Yes, I've got to look in the word. I'm not quite sure if that person has got it right. We need to read it for ourselves to find out what it says. Hallelujah. Our souls cannot be renewed without reading the word of God. That's our mind. It needs to be renewed with reading the word of God. God gives us the desires of our hearts, and he speaks to us through his word. Somebody once said, your time in the word is the door to hearing God. Your time reading the word, meditating on the scriptures, even learning scriptures. It's good to learn scriptures. And even if you may think, oh, Marlene, you know, sometimes I read the word and it's a bit, you know, it's not interesting. I've been there. But as you read the word, something is happening to you because it's alive. The word is living. It's alive. And as you read it, something is happening. Even if you just take one scripture and just think about it all week, it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in your life. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pete, could you put the picture up for me, please? I love that picture. That's me and Jesus, that is. But that's you and Jesus. That's the word. That's the word of God. The picture is of a person hugging the word of God. And it's just so powerful. It's so powerful to me. You know, you're in love with the word. God's love is greater. It's hotter than a fiery furnace. God gave us the most valuable thing he had. That's the word. That's Jesus. If you ever want to know anything about life, it's all in this book. This is God's will. When somebody dies, they leave a will. If you don't know what's in that will, you don't know what belongs to you. It's the same with the word of God. Jesus died, and he left us his will. It's a lot. It's a lot to read, but it's here, it's ours, it's written to us. And you know, when you see the Bible as a love story and you are in it, you are in the Bible. It's a love letter to you. When you read it like a love letter, it just makes such a difference. Your understanding changes. This is the Word of God. Amen. It's short and sweet today. But I'd like to pray for everyone, if that's okay. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that we have the Word of God in our hands, even on our iPhones. We have it in so many different ways. We thank you for the privilege that we have in having the Word of God, the freedom of reading it, the freedom of having it in this country. We thank you for that. Father, give us a greater desire to want to search the Scriptures, to want to find out more about you, more about your love, more about who we are, who you created us to be genetically. Father, give us that longing. And as we read your word, speak to us. Speak to us. Let us hear your voice so clearly that we know it is you. Father, thank you that your word is alive and it's medicine. It's medicine as we are reading it to our souls. And we thank you for the privilege that we have of having the word of God. Father, bless your people as they read it. Father, may their expectation be greater as they read it. And Father, may they just know your presence around them and your joy around them as they read your word. Let it bubble up inside of them. Give them an excitement, Father, as they read your word. Let them know how pleased you are that they are reading your word, and give them revelation knowledge to see things that they just want to share with other people and get excited about, because your word is exciting and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
That's all about, I mean, Jesus is raising up a mature church. It's always been his intention. Oh, do you want to say something, Susie? Okay, do you want me to come over? There we are, quickly, and I'll finish what I'm saying.
I do apologise to everybody because I should have said this before, but I'm not very good at going up at the front and saying stuff. I'm a little bit nervous about it. But before, when you were asking for shares, I saw that there are a few people that have quite a lot of bulginess beyond their ears because they've been listening to a lot of stuff that wasn't very pleasant, wasn't very nice, and they haven't been able to let it go. And what Marlene has just said has just demonstrated to me that actually the Word of God will slice through that and put that to rights and help you get around those that information that wasn't very pleasant. And this isn't just one, this is a few people here, I believe. And so I do feel I have to say this. And if you, for some reason, cannot read the Bible or cannot understand the Bible, please ask somebody to help you with it, because it's going to make a tremendous difference to your life.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Susie. That's good. So as I say, that Jesus is... intention is of a mature church, a mature church where actually you're not just coming on Sundays, but actually we're lovers of the word, but really partnering with that, really we need to be baptized to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It needs to be revelation, not information. Mm-hmm. And those two things combined. Marlene's got a passion for the word like we all have. If you want a passion for the word like that and you haven't got that, I'm guessing Marlene will pray for you and impart that to you, because each of us carry certain things, and we have the privilege of imparting that by the Holy Spirit to people. And Marlene has a passion for the word, and it'd be good if you want that same passion, you don't have it, it's okay to say that, and I'm sure Marlene will be happy just to impart to you that which she has to bring that release into your life. I think Susie said, and anything else, we have a ministry team at the side if you want anyone to pray for you regarding anything that Marlene said, any healing needs, just want to be encouraged by a prophetic word, grab hold of them as well. Don't leave this place unchanged, or as I think Susie was saying as well.